It's crucial that if something in our life is not serving us any longer, we need to figure out how to move that out of the way. Yeah. So what's really meant for us can come in to replace that.
Hello and welcome to Curious Ones podcast by Andara. I'm Yael Ginsberg, the host of the podcast, a yoga and meditation teacher and philosophy lover. Each week you will hear eye-opening interviews with the different teachers of the Andara Yoga Institute, located in beautiful Baja, Mexico, along with other teachers that pass through here. This life-changing knowledge shared through authentic, heartfelt communication will help you live a happier, more fulfilled, and connected life. Let's dive in. I'm very honored to have our guest today, Dennis Testin. Dennis is a yoga teacher based in Brooklyn, New York. Dennis started his professional life in the publishing business, and after landing a prestigious job that everyone told him he could keep doing for the rest of his life, he realized that it is not what he wanted. Attending his first yoga class at the age of 30, he was curious about this feeling that he was able to have of total connection and stillness. This led him to explore the world of yoga and its philosophy until finally he became a full-time yoga teacher. Welcome, Dennis. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast.
Lovely to be here, Yael.
How have you been in the last few days hosting a retreat here?
Oh, it's so extraordinary on this property. We had a marvelous group of students from Brooklyn, Brooklyn Yoga Project, and the connection and community amongst them was tremendous, but Yandara really facilitated that community. So thank you.
Oh, our honor. Great. I'm really happy to hear that. I would like to start our conversation today with examining the relationship of body, mind, and spirit. We hear that a lot about yoga being the about connection. That's the translation of yoga, the word yoga. And we also hear that it's about the connection of body, mind, and spirit. But I was wondering, okay, so we hear that a lot as like a phrase that people love saying, but what does that mean to you personally?
What does that mean to me personally? I'm going to start by answering that, as you're well aware, about how transformative this practice is. And I joke with my students all the time that this practice asks us to go deeper. Many people, especially living their busy lives, often come to yoga simply as exercise, and it's a great exercise. But this practice asks us to go much deeper than the surface. And that mentioning of body, mind, and spirit, the exercise for the body. My message to my students all the time is that we carry so much physically in our body. And so the asana practice opens that up. When we open up our body and we start to let go of some of that stuff that we are physically carrying in the body, a lot of that stuff that we're clinging to in our mind begins to loosen and release. And perhaps allowing us to explore those things that we're clinging to in the mind, which then opens up our spirit to a whole new receptivity that we might have never known before. In a nutshell.
Beautiful. And I love that direction that you went with, because that's kind of another thing that I wrote for myself, because we in the yoga community also love saying we are not our body, right? And shying away or getting away from defining ourselves according to the body. But what I find really interesting is that actually the body is our portal to the other realms of our existence.
Absolutely, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And we do make emphasis that we're not this physical practice, this physical package that we carry around our spirit in. Mm-hmm. But it is true that it is an important aspect to this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, practicing the way that you do, we're here to learn many lessons on this journey that we're on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the physical package that we're in right now, mm-hmm. that allow us to learn some of those lessons along the path.
Yeah. And I also read something really interesting this morning that actually the way that we can access into the deeper realms is through these sensations that come up, right? Because when we feel excitement, when we feel stress, when we feel fear, it's actually kind of like a portal for us to go deeper and sense where is that guiding me in my consciousness.
Yeah. The week that we spent here, the retreat was based on the chakras. Mm-hmm. And those of you who are familiar with it, these are energy wheels moving up and down our spine, right? Mm-hmm. And the first chakra is our root chakra. Mm-hmm. And it is about our basic needs in life. And when this is created, when we're babies, mm-hmm. infants, it's that ability to feel rooted and grounded and safe. And so if that energy in that particular area is not moving smoothly, fear rises up, there's unsteadiness, and we never feel like we have enough, mm-hmm. whether it's physical or energetically, that we're never enough. Mm-hmm. And this practice, for me, breaks some of that down. Mm-hmm. I'm sure your listeners, as we've already touched on, many of us are not happy in this physical package that we're carrying around, mm-hmm. whether it's a dimple on our thigh, or mm-hmm. maybe we're a little extra curvy, or mm-hmm. I don't like my eyes, or I need to do this.
We always find something.
And we can always find something, right?
Yeah.
But when we energetically connect with this root, mm. we begin to recognize that we're enough, mm-hmm. just as we are.
Yeah.
Acceptance.
Yeah. How does one go about doing that?
Oh.
You know, because it's like easy to throw it out. Okay, connect to your root, feel it, feel grounded, you are enough. But all of these things are, I think it takes time to be able to actually be able to absorb them in your life and practice them and incorporate them in the way that you move and think about yourself.
Right. And this realm of the yoga world, spiritual world that we live in right now, which I'm happy has the attention that it has, mm-hmm. but oftentimes people rely on very cliche isms,
yeah.
and think that if I say this, it's going to be.
Yeah.
But as you just indicated, it takes a lot of work and a commitment to yourself. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we can find it in other realms of the world. We found it through our yoga and meditation practice,
yeah.
and clearing some of the clutter away. Mm-hmm. For me, again, when I talk to my students, this reference may be lost specifically to you, but there's a woman, Marie Kondo, and she comes into people's homes and clears out closets and drawers and clutter. Mm-hmm. And unless it sparks joy for you, this is what she says, mm-hmm. then you should get rid of it.
Mm, I like that.
And for me, the yoga practice is very much like that. Mm. If you're carrying something around with you that is no longer serving you, that it's not something that on a daily basis helps you remember who you are, then you should get rid of it. And last night in our closing circle here on the beach, we all brought something written down on a piece of paper that was no longer serving us, and we threw it in the fire and burned it up. A small symbolism to that idea of we need to clear that stuff away. I'm not this. I'm to this. And from that, we need to learn how to accept ourselves just as we are.
Wow. To think about letting go of something that isn't beneficial, but is so part of our habitual life and our, it's kind of like part of the way that we think that we're surviving in the world, right? It's our protection. And thinking about letting go, for me, it feels like I have to go really, really deep into the layers of my consciousness and find a way to like dig it out of there. But do you have maybe practices that have worked for you, or something that you say to students that guiding them through it?
I don't know if I guide my students in a particular way, because as you're aware, this is a very personal practice. And for me to say, this is the way you do it, I think is a disservice to my students. For me personally, I found my meditation practice and my asana practice were the starting ground for that beginning to release. And we spoke of it just briefly the other day, and that is the ethical premise surrounding this practice, which the yamas and niyamas, and using them as a guiding force in my life. And the first one, ahimsa, which is non-harming. And so many people read that and think harming. So I'm not gonna kill or beat somebody up. And they forget this person here. And that stuff that we carry around in our minds about ourselves is as harming as it can get. And people don't recognize that. And those habitual patterns that we fall into, that inner critic, the judging mind about who we are in this realm.
So starting with non-harming yourself.
Because we talk about compassion and kindness to the world, but it really is that proverbial put your mask on first before you help people around you. And so we really need to learn how to extend that kindness and compassion to ourselves, even in the most challenging of moments. Before we can extend it to the world around us. And the crucial thing is not only to send it to ourselves, but to receive it unconditionally. And that's the thing right there. That unconditional thing.
I'm trying to take that in, you know, the difference between not only sending it to myself, but actually receiving it. So I guess that's because I always try to think of practically how does that look because of what we said of all these like cliche phrases. So, okay, love yourself. What does that practically mean? What does that practically look like to receive the love that I'm sending to myself, the kindness that I'm sending to myself?
And just going back to where we started here, that idea of the subtle body, we carry that everywhere with us physically. It's not just up here, but the translation happens in here. And if there's all this clutter clogging things up in the body, we're never going to make that body, mind, spirit connection.
What kind of clutter are you referring to?
generational trauma that inner critic voice, that experience that we had 10 years ago in a relationship, making us unworthy, still carrying that, even though often we say we've moved beyond things, we're still carrying it around with us.
It's so interesting to me to think about the human experience, how the human body and the human mind were designed in such collaboration, but also very distinct from each other, and how, you know, I perceive it as being part of our karma and just the journey that our soul needs to go through to evolve. But then I think, like, why is it so hard?
Why is it so hard? I coming from New York, I know so many incredibly smart people. Years of education. But that knowledge they've collected gets in the way of the real wisdom, which that's the spirit for me.
Yeah.
That real wisdom that we all carry with us.
Beautiful. So that kind of takes me to what I wanted to talk to you also about, being able to really sense that subtle guidance that we receive in our body, right? So the difference between the masculine side of our being, the doing, the achieving, the, you know, leadership, the going forward with full power, and then the feminine aspect of our being, which both males and females have, of course. But the part that is more about receptivity and intuition and emotions and sensing. And I find that it's so, there's so little emphasis on that, the importance of that part in terms of when we make decisions in life and when we are just in, you know, simple interactions with people. And one of the practices that I did with you and Ossie, who is co-leading this retreat with you, was really revolutionary for me. And of course, I'm referring to the blindfolded practice that we did for the third eye and crown chakras. And it was incredible because usually when I practice, I close my eyes a lot. I love doing that. But just having, like, not having at all the option to open my eyes and not perceive anything from anybody who's around me, I was so focused in my own experience and my own being that I don't know if you noticed, but in Shavasana, I had tears running down my face, because it was just, it really brought me into this clarity about a situation that I'm dealing with in my own life. And I felt like I saw it exactly as it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was just from closing one of the senses. So I guess what I would love to talk about is this idea of using our senses in order to, or maybe detaching from our senses in order to be able to feel what's happening in the body.
Well, as you're well aware, Yoga Sutras, which is our guidepost in the practice here, lists out the eight limbs of yoga. And one of the limbs is the withdrawal from those senses. The sight, sound, taste, smell, touch, all things that distract us away from that laser pointed focus, which is what we're trying to go for in this practice. Again, the asana is only a small part of it. So, but the real goal is steadiness in the mind. And so if our mind is pulled off in a multitude of directions, because what we see, what we smell, what we hear, we can't get to that point of concentration. And that it's through that concentration that we're able to begin to see, just begin to see, those things that are getting in our way. And So we need to withdraw from those sense distractions. Mm-hmm. And I like to call them distractions because yeah. really that's what they are. Mm-hmm. And when we start to clear some of that away, then we can begin to see some of that stuff mm-hmm. that we're carrying around with us.
Yeah, it's crazy because I realized how much just a glimpse of another person takes me into the ego and takes me into comparison. And what am I doing? Am I doing better? Am I doing worse? You know, like there's always this place you're placing yourself in relation to somebody else. And are you familiar with Tantra yoga? Mm. And because I was speaking to Nicolina, who's a lead teacher here at Yandara, and she is very familiar with this practice. And she was explaining to me that it's a lot about actually incorporating the senses into our experience in order to be able, because it's part of our life. So Tantra yoga says that it's like about incorporating the whole entire human experience as the way to liberation. How do you think about that?
I don't know how I think about that.
I know. It's an interesting thing to ponder.
But on the surface, it makes complete sense to me mm-hmm. that this is part of the realm that we live in.
Yeah.
And so why not include it as a vehicle for right. finding that place?
Right. Right. But then the senses do lead us to distraction because, you know, instead of feeling the feelings that you have, you maybe go eat that cake or have that drink, you know, and like indulge in these cravings, the greed of having the satisfactions in your senses rather than actually sitting with them and feeling them.
Right. And we live in a world where the majority of people are living by those sensations.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And again, because we worked on the chakras this whole week, you know, the first three chakras are about the physical world, and it's our ability to feel rooted, grounded, and safe, recognizing we have everything that we need. Mm-hmm. Second one is about our imagination, creating. Mm-hmm. Third one is our personal power.
Right.
And so clearly you would recognize that if the energy in these three areas is not moving smoothly, you're really just all about the surface and the physical world. And the recognition that if we don't feel rooted and grounded and safe, then it would be very challenging to create things in the world around us, mm-hmm. recognizing that we have this imagination to create things. Yeah. And then the ability to execute it in the third chakra. Mm-hmm. And the system is way more complex than I'm making it. But energetically, those three things are crucial. And we sort of live in a world right now where many groups don't feel rooted, grounded, and safe.
Yeah.
And so it is difficult to flow through challenges with grace and ease in that second chakra. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to make those choices in your life that continue you on your path. Mm-hmm. I'm real lucky
yeah.
sitting in the seat that I am.
Yeah.
Because from very early, I always felt rooted, grounded, and safe. Mm. Having everything I needed.
Yeah.
Needed.
Right.
Which is different than wants.
Definitely. Definitely. The basics of survival
right.
were not even an issue for us. And I think that's a really important point that you brought up there because it can bring a lot of awareness that when we maybe we skip a chakra, and we're in this place that we want to be creating as a, like, from our authenticity and our sense of self, but we don't have this safety, then the creation will be unstable. So just having this awareness that we need to first create this safety, first create this belonging that comes from the rootedness of the root chakra, will allow us to create from a more grounded place or a more authentic place, right?
Right. Family, food, and shelter. Mm-hmm. And family can be defined any way you want it. Your chosen families, yeah, or your family that, right, you were born into. And if we know, much of the world doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so energetically, when we don't feel that, it's difficult to see outside of that.
Right.
If you're solely focused on finding shelter and food.
Right. What do you see as the importance of putting yourself in unfamiliar situations, like the practice of being blindfolded, like going to a yoga class that maybe you don't know yet what yoga is, or feel that it's not for you, or, you know, there's so many different examples.
So many different examples.
Mm-hmm. And like doing a podcast.
Like doing a podcast. But something that was at the fore of my mind coming into Yandara. I am a pretty senior person chronologically in age, and in all my years of my life up until the past week, I had never gone camping.
Really?
I had never stayed in a tent.
Uh-huh.
And here I am. Now, I had a luxury tent here at Yandara, which, yeah, is a little different than a tent. But this was my first experience in this. Mm-hmm. And I think it is crucial, no matter your age, to put yourself in situations, provided they're safe, mm-hmm, where it creates a little dis-ease physically and mentally.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's only through those things that we can, you know, step over that threshold into a new place.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am at the end of the week, again, for the listeners, like, it was a luxury tent. I had a bathroom in the tent, okay?
Living the good life here.
Living the good life. But there was some trepidation, you know? I don't like bugs. I don't, and it helped me realize that I'm way stronger than I often give myself credit for. And I've been through lots of experiences in my life that have reinforced that strength. But sometimes we get a little complacent about challenging ourselves, and we need something additional.
Yeah.
You know, apropos to that, the physical practice is like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we can move through a routine that we do on a regular basis, but in my classes tend to be a little more challenging physically, mm-hmm, and with the intention of what's coming up in the mind. Are you stopping yourself short? Are you not giving yourself enough credit to be able to do this? And what's the worst that can happen? The pose falls apart. But the great part of this practice is that we get to start again every time we fall down. Because, mm-hmm, we all fall down.
Yep. Inevitable. Beautiful. I love what you said, because it's so important. It's the way that we grow, right? When we go out of our comfort zone. And it's also a great way to build self-worth. Because you put these like limitations on yourselves of, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm this kind of person. I'm that kind of person. And then when you do something that's out of what you thought you could do, or over or beyond, then you kind of like become stronger within yourself, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And especially for the listeners out there who are maybe thinking about coming into a practice newly, mm-hmm. not being familiar, they should do it.
Yeah.
only because experiencing, like me in my tent over the past few days, mm-hmm. Something new. And maybe yeah. they get there and it's not really their thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that will happen, mm-hmm. personally.
I know. I actually was also afraid of the tents here. And then my friend was like, well, what are you talking about? You have to do it. And it was one of the best decisions I've made recently.
Awesome.
I feel you. I'm also not big on bugs. Hey, I'm quickly interrupting the episode to extend an invitation. If you are interested in deepening into any of the subjects we talk about on the podcast, we offer many different experiences on our beautiful grounds here in Baja, Mexico. From 9-day modules such as sound healing and yoga nidra, to breath and meditation, as well as 200 or 300-hour yoga teacher trainings, and many different shorter retreats. Check out our website, yandara.com, to see all the information about the different experiences. Let's get back to the episode. I would love to talk a little bit about your journey to become a yoga teacher. I kind of touched on it in the beginning, but I think, you know, I didn't give it enough weight, because to go from being a literary agent or in the literary world.
I was in the literary world.
Yes. And doing a job that's considered, you know, like a good job, honorable, respectable, and doing what the society tells you is like the right way to do and the right path to take, and deciding to take a 180 degree turn and do something that's just because it makes you happy is a decision that takes a lot of courage. And it's definitely not easy. So I was wondering if there was a moment of like realization or enlightenment that you had to realize that this is what you had to do. And I would love for you also to talk about this process of going through this decision and making the decision.
Just for the sake of this podcast, so I was in publishing for 16 years, and it was more the service end of the business. So it was production, and it served me really well for a good number of years, 16 years to be precise. The first job I ever had was for 10 years of my professional career. And as many folks in the professional world, maybe I was a little impatient, maybe I was, you know, I don't know. But I became weary about sort of the advancement within the organization. So I quit that job. Mm-hmm. And people asked me, did I have something else to go to? And at that particular moment in time, I did not have anything else to go to.
Really?
People were frightened for me. I wasn't frightened.
Wow.
And in about 2 months, I received a phone call from a woman who had worked for that organization but had moved on to another job, specifically in London. And she said, I understand you left such and such company. And I was like, yes, I did. And she said, would you consider coming to London for 3 months?
Ooh.
I agreed. 3 months turned into 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And an experience that would have never happened had I stayed at that other job.
Mm.
It would have never, that opportunity would have never presented itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through that moment that I realized sometimes we got to do the scary thing in order to make space for the new thing to come in.
Mm-hmm.
You and I started this before we started recording with a bit of an intention. And my guidance was really empty the breath out to make space for that next breath to come in.
Yes.
And for me, that was the quintessential moment of this yoga practice, that that stuff isn't going to happen if we're still hanging on to all this stuff over here, making reference back to this mental energy that we hang on to, those experiences that translate into the physical body that doesn't allow us to see anything beyond this physical world. And so it was that moment where I was like, oh, hey, I created something here. And the next few years, I worked at a couple other publishing companies, and back in New York City, and one of which was a rather prestigious organization, and I just realized that it wasn't bringing me any joy whatsoever. This is a bit of a segue out of the publishing world, but I left that job, and I decided to study wine for a year. Sommelier Society of America, and I learned a lot. Learned a lot. Stuff that I would have never known, nor would I have had the time to learn. Not intending to do anything with it, just wanting to learn, which I did.
Beautiful.
And in that, I found a job at a small event business and became an integral part of that business. But while I was there at this business, now, mind you, I was practicing yoga through this whole thing, the physical asana practice, the meditation practice. And while I was at this event business, I did my first teacher training, not intending to become a teacher, just wanting to learn more about it. It was back to the wine thing, right? Where it was like, I just had this craving for more knowledge.
And curiosity, would you say?
Curiosity, I would say, yes. And so I did the training. I completed it, not intending to teach, but through, again, a series of events that I couldn't have staged if I wanted to. I started teaching regular yoga classes. And the story specifically is I had gone to the studio where I did the training. They had two separate studio spaces, and the manager of the business came in and tapped me on the shoulder in the class that I was taking. And she said, the teacher didn't show up for this class across the hall. Can you come in and teach the class?
Oh, my God. Wow.
I was petrified and stepped into the other studio and taught the class. And again, like this experience in London, if I didn't make space for this to happen, it wouldn't have happened. So I started teaching classes, and then I started teaching more classes, and then the time at the event business started to whittle down until I ultimately left that and I was teaching full time. As you're aware, once you step into this, you recognize that holding the space for people is incredibly important. And it is more important today in 2022 than it ever has been before.
Beautiful. I think there are so many important points that you brought up here. And one of them is kind of the process that I'm going through right now, and actually a process that enabled this whole podcast to happen. And that's what you were talking about, the concept of making space in your life in order for something new to come in. And it's a lot about taking like this leap of faith and really, really rooting into the trust of something greater than us and supporting us. I do think it's important to say that it needs to be an educated trust, because just to quit your job when you don't have enough to support yourself maybe isn't the smartest idea. But I'm sure that you did it educationally.
And yes.
educationally.
For anybody listening out there, this didn't happen in a second, okay? Yeah. There was, of course, planning that went behind it, a recognition that I could sustain myself for a number of months, if not a year, in that process. So please, if there's any listeners out there, don't go and quit your job, because make sure you set things in order.
Yeah, but do start that account, that savings account, in case you ever want to do something like this, right?
Precisely. Yeah. Precisely. And make it a soft landing.
Yeah.
Rather than a hard one.
But I love that idea, because it relates to a lot of things, not only professionally, also with relationships, right? We have to let go of something that isn't serving us, isn't working, in order to create space for something new, even if it's just energetically, and anything in life that that might not be serving us any longer.
Well, again, you know, just to clarify that, for me, that could mean just the way you operate within the context of the relationship. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean ending that relationship.
Yeah.
How am I being in this relationship? And is it that something that's serving me, serving mm-hmm. the communal relationship, mm-hmm. and is it serving the other person?
Yeah.
And so this way of being over here, and we'll pick something super silly, but stuff is big. I mean, you nag, mm-hmm. you know, do you nag? Do you
Me?
Nag?
Oh, maybe sometimes. Yeah.
and so it's like, well, how is this serving this relationship?
Definitely not.
Right. So how can I change this?
Mm-hmm. How can I change this? Maybe you can.
Again, it's personal. So, but it's like when that moves out of the way in the context of whatever relationship we're talking about, mm-hmm. it makes space for something new to come in.
Yes.
Maybe more of that love.
Yes.
Maybe more kindness and compassion. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a little more understanding.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. I think that's such an important point that you brought there, because you don't necessarily need to quit your job, quit the relationship, quit, you know, whatever it is. You can also change who you are in that context.
Right. And you know, we all know people who are control freaks. Well, maybe you don't.
Of course I do.
And if people only understood that the only thing they can actually control is
themselves.
They would be able to lighten up so much.
Yeah.
And again, that's what this practice is for me. That ability to lighten up.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. We carry around so much and it's so heavy. And I just want to invite people to set it down.
Mm-hmm.
Set it down.
Definitely. You don't need to carry that. Yeah. But it's,
you
it
sure?
takes reminding. I am sure. But it takes work. Definitely. Another important point that I would love to touch upon is that you said that when you took this leap of faith, when you created this space, actually the universe kind of provided for you, right? The opportunities arose. And I found that also in my life, that when I created that space, when I took the leap of faith, when I was moving from a place of trust, things kind of showed up. Opportunities were, like, people were asking me if I want to do something, and it was exactly what I wanted to do.
Right. I think in the yoga world, we get sort of a bad rap sometimes, that people are real hippy-dippy and the universe.
Yeah.
But just as those situations unfolded in my life, the universe hates a vacuum.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Meaning that when something ends, something else has to begin.
Right.
There's no other way.
Mm-hmm.
And so those moments where specific jobs ended for me, something else came in to fill the void.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to call it that the universe provided this, then let's call it that.
Yeah.
But more importantly for me, is that it's crucial that if something in our life is not serving us any longer, we need to figure out how to move that out of the way.
Yeah.
So what's really meant for us can come in to replace
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also about kind of sending out this signal and standing in this energy of I'm not willing to put up with something that isn't good for me. I'm not willing to settle for something that isn't something that makes me happy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go back to that first chakra,
mm.
people misunderstand that this job, this relationship is making it's a safe place because we understand it.
Right.
Even if it's horrible,
mm-hmm.
we understand it.
Right. And it's familiar.
Mm-hmm. Right. And just because it's familiar doesn't mean it's good for us.
Right.
And so we need to ask ourselves the hard questions of, is this serving me?
Mm-hmm.
And in this practice, we speak to our higher selves, right?
Yeah.
If these are the physical realm, everything above it is our higher self.
Mm-hmm.
And is this serving my higher self?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also becoming responsible for your life, right?
Ooh, that's a hard word, though, Yael.
Yep.
Hard word for people to swallow.
Yep. But the only way. I find that it's a lot, you know, it can be scary when you think like it's on me to create the life that I want. But on the flip side of it, it's actually very empowering because you realize that it's up to me to make it up so I can do it. It's what I do of it.
Don't you just sit back and sort of look at what you've created here and just, you must smile all the time because it's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And not everybody can see that.
Mm.
Not everybody can see that they can create this life
yeah.
that they want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about this courage of not settling, of going after what you want. And you also mentioned this briefly before, like, okay, what's the worst that can happen? You fall, you get back up.
Precisely. And as we know, the mat is just a metaphor for life.
And
you fall down and you get back up again.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it. The mat is a safe space for that to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People come into a yoga class, and again, for the folks considering entering into the practice, it's not so serious.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And give yourself permission to fall down.
Yeah.
And I like to tell new, especially brand new to yoga students, this is never going to happen again when they come into a yoga class.
Mm-hmm.
So give yourself permission not to know anything.
Yeah. It's kind of exciting to look at things with a beginner mind.
Right.
Being new to something and having so much that you can learn from it.
And in that same vein, it's a reminder for those of us who have been on the mat a couple times and beyond to come back to that beginner's mind. Because sometimes we can forget that beginner's mind.
Yeah, definitely. This reminds me of something that Brené Brown talks about. about, and this kind of helps me when I make decisions, when I make scary moves, about that it's not the critic who counts. She has this Theodore Roosevelt quote that she loves using. She built a book around it, that it's not the critic who counts. It's the man that's actually in the arena, that his face may be marred by blood and sweat and tears, but in the best case, he might achieve great things. And in the worst case, he might fail, but at least he's doing so daring greatly. And I kind of butchered the quote, but that's how I remember it. But really reminding myself that the only people that actually count, their opinion counts, are the ones that are in the arena. And if you're sitting on the sidelines and too scared to do anything, then your opinion doesn't matter, right? And that also, in that quote, is also the reminder that if you try to do great things, if you are brave with your life, you will fail. You will fail, you will fall, but that's just part of the journey. And going through that, and that comes back to what we were saying also of moving from inside out, right? Moving from how I define bravery, how I define who I want to be in the world, and not letting the outside world define that for me.
And apropos to the Brené Brown quote, we talk about in this practice, the great things never happen in your comfort zone.
Yes.
So if you stay within the comfort zone, great things aren't going to happen.
Right.
I mean, good things will probably happen, but those experiences that I've moved through would not have happened if I decided just to stay comfortable.
Yes, definitely.
And so going back, I think, to the very beginning, asana yoga is a great exercise, but you can take a Zumba class if you want it to, for great exercise. Yoga asks us to go way deeper than the surface. And in this hour's time here, we've really only touched on the top of that.
Yeah, it's the whole iceberg.
Right, exactly. The tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, definitely. Beautiful. I could keep talking with you for a lot longer, but you probably have things to do today. So let's move on to the closing curiosity questions that I end each episode with.
Ooh.
The first question is, what is something that you've changed your mind about?
Something that I've changed my mind about: staying intense.
Oh, yes, definitely. I think we also kind of touched about this one, but what is something you didn't think you could do and you did?
Something really tangible is arm balances in the yoga practice. I grew up feeling weak. I had brothers who were really strong, and I never believed I could do those things. I didn't believe I had the strength, and learned that, yes, I have the strength to do these things. Yeah. And that's a physical, tangible thing.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of others.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But through the physical, tangible, we can go deeper into showing ourselves we can do it physically, can show ourselves that we can also do it with greater leaps and
you're
scary
so smart.
Things. Oh, thank you. I'm using your words. Next question, what gives you hope?
What gives me hope, and I alluded to it before, working with kids, working with young people, gives me hope. Yeah. They're so smart. Even in the most challenging of situations, they can still see. And we would all benefit from that insight.
Amazing. Yeah, kids know best.
They do.
They get the world a lot more than we do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Beautiful. How do you define happy?
I'm a believer that joy for me is always there. Happiness tends to come from outside sources. Mm-hmm. So if I were to define happiness from that perspective, this ocean behind us, mm-hmm. which your viewers may or may not see, it offers me great happiness.
Yeah.
And for folks who are considering coming here to Yandara, this place is surrounded by beauty. And yeah. that is happiness to me.
Oh, thank you. I love that. What are you curious about right now?
A lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I am curious of understanding the group of people. I'm curious to know if the group of people I was just with here at Yandara will carry their experience forward as they move back into the real world.
Yeah.
And if they'll maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the asana practice, we all fall down. They'll fall off of that. But can they reignite that feeling they had here?
Amazing.
Which is, as a teacher, that's what I want people to be able to do, to access that no matter where they are.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not reliant on this place, though it's beautiful, that they can access it anywhere they are in the world.
Yeah, that's so true, because we can actually access feelings through memories.
Right.
Right? Was it in your class that you were guiding us to think of a moment that we were feeling love? Yeah, it was the heart chakra class. And it was incredible because I was thinking of my nephews. And like the day before, my nephew said to me, "I love you." And I was just thinking of that moment. And just remembering it made my whole body fill up with love.
And you soften.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious if they're going to be able to access that.
Mm.
And my hope is that they do.
I believe that they will.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So is there anything else that's important for you to share?
If you are considering entering a yoga practice, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it.
Yeah, definitely. How can people stay connected with you?
Feel free, yogidennis.com, Yogi Dennis on Spotify, Yogi Dennis on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And classes at the Brooklyn Yoga Project.
Classes at Brooklyn Yoga Project. And my full schedule of classes is on my website. Because I teach at a number of other locations as well.
Beautiful. Dennis, thank you so much. I had so much fun.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, after this time to nurture your mind and your spirit, we invite you to take a moment to consider others. A kind wish might come to mind. Know that what we learn becomes more valuable when we apply it and share it with others. So share this episode on Instagram stories, tag Yandara and I, or share with a loved one so that more people can benefit from it. Our hope is that the search will lead you home to who you already are, to what was always there. We'll be back next week with more inspiration, honest conversation, and insight into the energetic world around us. Thank you for listening and watching.